Welcome back to your Daily Dose. It's me, Nick. What do you get when you take two pretty funny people and they talk about two really, really incredibly funny and talented people? This episode, I need to work on my joke craft. Luckily, Bob and I are learning from the best. Enjoy.
Comedy, drama.
Oh, so good.
Is that the name of the
Bob
book?
Bob Odenkirk's memoir.
Are you listening to it?
I'm listening to it. And I would recommend listening to it just because he's a fantastic performer.
Yeah.
And he delivers his lines. Again, he's a comedy writer who also is a comedy performer, who is also a dramatic performer. So he's perfect for his own book. And he tells stories about his history, which is much more pedigreed than you would think. He has been involved in some very cool shows and with some very cool people. And he worked with Del Close, who he gives a very unflinching view of. I mean, Del Close was kind of a crazy person, and he had addiction and substance abuse issues, and he was misogynistic, and he had a lot of bad things going for him, but he was also a genius who could unleash the comedy genius of almost anybody. So you get that history, and you get it through his lens, which is very real. And it's like he'll tell you about how Second City smelled. And it's not glamorous, you know, and his early days were not glamorous.
Yeah.
But he was so hungry for it. It reminded me of Dave Grohl's memoir, Storyteller, because they're both so wanted to do what they were doing, and they did, you know, so it was cool.
So we have some parallel, not thinking, but at least audio books going on, because I'm listening to Eddie Izzard's
book. Oh, I bet that's fantastic. Yeah, is he
so
reading
believe
it?
Believe me, yeah.
Oh, is he a they now? Is he a they? Or was he always a they?
No, still he. So he is, used to identify as transvestite, but now as transgender, but he is still he, him. And it's like part of the story as well, which is very interesting to hear about coming out to his dad and figuring out how to come out to the audience and, you know, the nomenclature that he uses, like he's in girl mode or he's in boy mode. So it's really an expression of how he dresses and presents himself.
How lovely to have the option of both modes,
though. Oh yeah.
You know, I know that there's probably some turmoil that comes with that, because I know among my bi friends, there is some turmoil that comes, and I can't define the source of it, but I still think of that concept. I used to joke that, you know, to be bi is to be it, because you can go to any party and there are possibilities, right? But I don't know. But are you enjoying it? Is it a good read?
It started out a little slow. I think I wanted to rush it to the performance stuff. I really wanted to hear about him going to the Edinburgh Fringe and performing there, and how he got started into stand-up. And it was a lot of stuff that I didn't realize. So he was like a street performer. He really wanted to do sketch comedy. And that's what he went to first, to the Edinburgh. And when he was a street performer, it was like miming slow motion sword fights and doing escape routines. So having somebody tie him up and then escaping from it within a certain amount of time.
Wow.
Sometimes he would get manacled and then go up on a unicycle.
Okay, this is someone who needed the attention from very early on.
So I thought that was really interesting. The downside is, again, like if you want to get to that, there is, and you know, it's a memoir. So he has a lot about being a kid, and there's a very poignant and kind of sad part about his mother dying when he was six.
Oh.
So going to boarding school after that.
Oh,
and some of
wow.
That
okay.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because his dad needed to work, his brother and he were 6 and 8 years old.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So it was tough, I think, on some level to listen to. He also has that kind of manic Robin Williams energy. So sometimes he's speaking very fast, especially if he's doing an aside.
Yeah.
And, you know, I felt like at first I almost had to, sometimes I listen to it at a little bit of extra speed. Sometimes I listen
slow
to it
down.
At regular speed. I almost felt like I had to slow it down.
That is interesting. That's, you mentioned Robin Williams. They just had the Screen Actors Guild Awards.
Oh, yeah.
And Sally Fields took a top award, and she gave a very poignant talk about Robin Williams and saying the words that he should be growing old like me.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, painful. But I get that connection between Eddie Izzard and Robin Williams. We saw Eddie Izzard live at Dr. Phillips Center the last time that he was in
nice.
Town.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
It was not as fun as I expected it to be. I don't think the venue was right for him.
Yeah,
I feel like they'd be better in a smaller, more intimate crowd. But we were pretty far back too, and so basically you just saw this relatively small human being on a British flag background, and the stories were wonderful, and the show was fun, but it didn't hit as well as
Dress
I thought
to Kill was just such an incredible show.
Do you have a flag?
Yeah, and what he talked about actually, so he met Robin Williams very briefly on set in Great Britain when he was over there. Robin was over there. Mr. Williams was over there shooting something, and then when Izzard came over to America, Robin Williams and his wife at the time, Marcia, went to see him, and he said, "Hey, I want to. Can I help you get to Broadway? Can I help you produce your show and get you to Broadway?" Eddie is going through this whole thing of his plans and all of that, and he's like, "No, I don't want to do Broadway yet. I'd really like to go out to the West Coast." So. I don't know if Robin Williams supported and his wife supported him financially, but it was, he invited all the stars to come see him.
Oh.
So every night he did in San Francisco, or at least the opening nights in San Francisco and then the opening nights in LA. And so that kind of like patronage was really moving to me. The other thing that Eddie Izzard talked about was Eddie Izzard.
Yes.
That's how he pronounces Izzard. His own name. Yeah. Was doing these fringe shows and going out and being a street performer.
Yeah.
Especially for his first one was, and there's all sorts of poignant stories, but this one really struck with me because it was another way to talk about fake it till you make it, which I don't like. I don't like the idea of that.
I don't either.
But
I,
what he was talking about was I was borrowing future confidence from after I've done this so that I could do this now.
I love that. That's powerful. That's the best explanation of what they really mean when they say that. Because I used to, whenever I was coaching clients back in the day, and I haven't coached, I mean, I've formally coached anybody in quite a while. But
well, it's a whole informally concept,
the whole concept was as if, right?
Yeah.
I want you to act as if. So you want to, that vice president job, I want you to start acting today as if you already have that job.
Yeah.
And if you act as if you already have that job, you look at things differently. And it really is a way for you to try it on, look through that lens. And then once you realize, once you're in the lens, it's really not that different and it's not that difficult. So I like that. I think that was a really good way to say it. Borrowing future confidence in order to get there. It's pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. Right.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Amazing. Such good wisdom coming from comedy legends Eddie Izzard and Bob Odenkirk. It's so fun to find many mentors in the world, people who offer us a tidbit of awesome advice that serves us well into the future. To find these tiny Yodas, you need to keep your heart open to all the possibilities as you travel through the world. They say that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So get ready, my friend, and let's learn some stuff. That does it for this episode of Your Daily Dose. Thanks for listening.